Friends, I'd ask you please to turn to the Word of God in the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 52, and some words that you'll find in the middle of verse 12. Prophet Isaiah, chapter 52, some words in the centre of verse 12. For the Lord will go before you. For the Lord will go before you. During yesterday, the Lord rested these words in my heart, yet said in this chapter, and at the end of this chapter we read, at the commencement of the sufferings of our dear Lord and Saviour. There in verse 14, we read, for his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. And as we go into chapter 53, perhaps that well-known chapter, sometimes read, the Lord's Supper. And in verse 2, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Here in prophecy, the sufferings of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Our dear Jesus, who went to the cross to suffer, to bleed and to die in the place of the whole election of grace for those that will be with him in glory. Did it please the Lord to bruise him? Jesus went before his people. God sent his only beloved Son to bear the sins of many, or to be in that wondrous word many. In another place, it's in Romans, we have word us, to be found in that great us who hath redeemed us and given himself for us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. There it is in Romans 5, verse 8. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The dear Lord Jesus, who went before, who, as we mentioned, that wondrous word, those beautiful words in Hebrews chapter 12. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, who hath done all things for his people. Salvation's work was done when he cried, "It is finished," from the cross. That work which he came to do was done. And in verse 22 of Isaiah 45. Here, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. He is a just God, and there is none else. There is none other Saviour beside me. None other Saviour beside the Son of God who hath gone before. And in Ephesians 2, we read, even when we were dead in sin, when we were dead in sin, out there in the depths of sin in the world, doing those things at once we longed and loved to do, took our time, took of our substance, took of our energies, the mercy of God, the great kindness and love of God, to give his beloved Son. Yes, Ephesians 2 and verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin. Mention that deadness this morning. We're dead. We were born dead. Naturally, yes, we were given that breath. We were given these bodies that God has made for us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. But we are dead to the things of grace, dead to the things of the and ever dying souls. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, that tremendous love, that unspeakable love, the love that is without depth, without breadth, and without height, such is the greatness of it. Not an earthly love, perhaps can increase or decrease. It can change from moment to moment. The love of God is ever the same. It ever has been. It ever is and ever will be. For God is an unchangeable, unchanging God. God is the same yesterday and today and for ever. What a dear Saviour. May we each be enabled to say, what a dear Saviour I have found. That personal religion that we spoke of this morning, that great and that tremendous need to know that we will be in that great company. We cannot assume, because of our pedigree, our upbringing, the type of place we've worshipped at, and so on, these many different things. We cannot use these things to say that we are right with God. All in their good place and right place when God motivates us and changes us. But these things alone will not keep us from the wrath to come. But it is through God alone, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. He's made us alive, raised us up. By grace ye are saved. For by grace are ye saved through faith. There is again that looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He begins it. And it is as only those can tell who have known and had a taste of it, He begins it, and he sustains us through our life and draws us by his almighty power, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy. We mentioned that this morning, we must mention it again. The joy. If you or I were brought to such a place to suffer such an agonizing death, to be nailed to a cross of wood, friends, we are guilty of many, many sins. But Jesus was pure and holy and sinless. Yet nevertheless, for consider him, beloved friends, as he hung upon the cross, having been spat at, mocked, jeered at, had his garments parted, the humiliation of the Son of the living God. Nevertheless, for that joy, friends, if we came to that place, we could not speak perhaps to one another how we may feel. I'm sure we would not be able to describe that experience as joy. That great love. That tremendous love wherewith he loved us, yet he loved his people so much. Such was the joy of Jesus going before his people unto the cross at his Father's will. He endured it. There, that work that he came to do was completed in every part. In every way, all that his Father sent him to do was done. It was absolutely complete. Such, dear friends, is that height, that depth, and the breadth of this. It's a never-ending love because it's an eternal love. It hasn't got a bottom, it hasn't got a brim, it hasn't got a shore. We cannot comprehend it, can we? We may say we love one another, and we do love one another. But how poor is our love. And yet, what of our love to the Lord? In our walk, in our conduct, in all that we are called to do? Do we do all things in love? Do we do these things? To do them for joy, to do them that we are called to do them, or are these things that we do done perhaps not with a completely loving spirit, perhaps takes of our time whereby we may want to do other things. Friends, God has given us so much. God has gone before. He has promised to go before his people, and he does go before his people. What of our following? Do we try and follow at a distance? Lag back? Do that, perhaps with a grudging heart? Do we have that love in our hearts to a loving God who has sent his loving Son to bear the punishment of divine justice that was poured out upon him at the cross, that our dear Jesus endured in joy, despised the shame? He put that to one side. Could you or I consider what it must be like to be humiliated in front of a crowd of other people? It's one thing to think of it. It's another quite to go through with it. There in front of a crowd, in the midst of a crowded town. That were to be you or to I. Friends, this was love. And love to his people's souls that he went through in the utter completeness and obedience at his Father's will. Friends, that the grave could not hold him. When that crucifixion was done, the life of Jesus was no more. They laid him in the grave. They wrapped him in that linen. They laid him in the tomb and rolled that stone upon the door. That following morning, there the disciples ran to find the stone was rolled away. "He is not here," said the angel. "He is risen. We worship not a dead God." Some in the world, they worship gods who are idols, gods of stone, gods of wood, make gods of people. Different people they idolize. None of these things, none of these gods hear or answer their prayer. None of these gods come to their aid or their help. In times of trial, they cannot help. In times of affliction, they cannot help. They cannot heal. They cannot dispense mercy. These gods that are so-called gods, as my old pastor used to call them, little g gods. Not God with a capital G, who is high and holy and lifted up and in heaven. The prayer hearing and the prayer answering God. These are little g gods. They're earthly. They fail. And they can never ever help. They can never ever come to our aid. How many times have you called upon your God in many different situations, in many different needs, in the day, in the night, wherever you may be found, in the street, in work, at home, or at school? Our God never sleepeth. His eyes never close. We have a faithful and an omnipotent God who is exceedingly holy, who is exceedingly just and pure and faithful. He it is, dearly beloved friend, who goes before. How each of us, whether we realize it or know it, or not, need God to rescue us, need God to heal us of that affliction of sin. We spoke those fiery serpents this morning that bit. They injected that venom into the veins, which was a killer. It would kill them unless they looked up and lived to the remedy that Moses reared high. We have a faithful and a blessed Saviour who is lifted up on the cross. He it is that hath gone before us. He can never fail. He will never fail. Friends, there has to be that following, that looking, that beholding of the Lamb of God. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. For the Lord will go before you. And this is a promise which is unchangeable. How we come in our lives to situations, to places where we know not what to do. Because of our poverty, because of our own insecurity, our weakness, whatever it may be, brings us to a place. Dear friends, do we know the Saviour of sinners? The helper of the helpless, who comes and does us far greater good. So just think of it. You think of the woman with the issue of blood. She'd given her all to trying to heal that herself. She tried all she could. She'd used all her money. She had nothing left. But at last she came to Jesus. She had to press through the crowd. She had to follow Jesus where he was. And there, what was his word? Somebody hath touched me. In that great throng of people, yet there, the dear Son of God, he knew that that woman was behind him. He knew that she was down and had come. He knew all about her. He had gone before, and he has gone before all his people. But what was the outcome? That complete and effectual healing of that woman. We can use all the means that we think we have. We can do all that we think in our hearts and our minds. That's using the thoughts of many others. In a particular situation. But seek ye the Lord. Lay it before the Lord. Commit it before the Lord. For he it is that doth go before you. Those beautiful words that we read together in Deuteronomy 31. These words that were the charge be given to the Lord's servant Joshua. He was to continue on from Moses. Joshua, Moses' minister, was to continue. But there was a promise. And the Lord gives his word. And the Lord has given the word tonight. For the Lord will go before you. Perhaps there is somebody might say we are feeling to be very insecure. We know not what to do. But friends, where are your eyes? Are they looking unto God? Looking unto God's dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in your trouble, in your need, in your fear, in your affliction, in your great concerns? For the Lord will go before you. Friends, in a going before, it means there must be a following. Now, not to keep jumping about, but you remember that Jesus said unto his disciple, follow me. And friends, when we are to follow, there is something that must be done. Can I always just expect to sit down and it all be done for us? We're not called to be lazy followers. We're not called to be lazy Christians. We are to be about our Master's business and to do that which is required of us, that which the Lord has given us to do. But we have a gracious Master who goes before. God, who is able to do far greater than you can ever even ask or think. far exceeding abundantly than you can ever ask or even think. For our poor little minds are finite minds. We're earthbound. We have a God who is able to do far greater things than we can ever think of or perceive. Those great and tremendous things that God is able to do. But friends, we have to have that faith in following. We have to have that faith in looking and that faith to follow. But the Lord is our strength. The Lord is mighty. The Lord is able. Where is our strength? Are we like the disciple? The end of John chapter 21. There, what was his concern? John 21 and verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. How we can get hooked up and concerned of the lives of others, what they should do, what they could do. Friends, it's what of you? What of your walk? What of your conduct? What has the Lord asked you to do? Are we hanging back in obedience to follow one who has gone before? If you are to follow somebody, you say, You come and follow me. And they begin to go. And we sit down and do not follow. We are then left in a lost state. We are lost. Friends, we cannot follow afar off. We cannot follow to be those that are sit down. There is that requirement to do that which the Lord has commanded. And if the dear Lord has said, follow me, and friends, we are to follow. Perhaps let me say this for his encouragement. Not knowing what I was going to say or even thought of, did recount this to our brother in the vestry. It was from this same chapter in John, one Lord's Day afternoon. The Lord, extremely powerfully, in a way that I've never experienced before or since, spoke to both myself and to my dear brother in the faith, James Gudgeon. The Lord sent his servant to preach with these words, feed my sheep and feed my lambs. And the Lord spoke to us both so powerfully that afternoon. Friends, to cut a very, perhaps a long story short, as we may say, James went and I did not. I made my excuses. Said I had to stay at the church at Hastings. We had no other deacon at the time, and felt that it was my place to stay there. And I made my excuses that I did not know enough. I had not this and I had not that. Dear James went. Well, it was not for another 3 years before the Lord did send me. But what I had to go through in that time was not something that I would have desired. something that was to be routine to have in hospital took 2 months or more for me to completely heal and to be strengthened. In fact, it went on for longer than that. You know, it came to one Wednesday evening. Still very weak, I prayed the Lord, if he would give me strength, that I would go to the service. Your brother, Mr. Richard Field, was there, and he gave out his text. And I knew it was of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, fill this valley full of ditches. Obedience, dear friends, is a must. If the Lord speaks, be certain, be sure to do that which he requires of you. Friends, the promise is that he will go before. And when God goes before, he will never fail. He will never let us down. Yea, friends, can say that in that time now, another three years has passed, and how good and how gracious God has been. He's given strength. He's given me so much, and yet how much I lacked and suffered in those 3 years. And you know, the honest thing is, I didn't grow any better. I didn't spend that time as I should have done. In fact, I probably grew worse. Follow thou me. Friends, we come concerned about other things, our motives perhaps, in a way, are right. Friends, if they are not right with God, if they are not right in the sight of holy God, God has better than we can think. We try and put in place our own things to make sure everything is covered. Oh, to be certain, to be sure that we follow the Lord. What was it said of Caleb? He hath followed the Lord fully. Followed the Lord completely. Follow the Lord totally. And that's what we are as Christian believers called to do, in following the Lord. And what a blessed place it is. We come under the mighty hand of God. Friends, he in due time has promised to exhort us. We are to cast our burden upon the Lord. And to be submissive. And that's the place the old flesh doesn't really like coming to. Submission to the will of God. To be held down. The flesh, if we're honest, likes to perhaps be doing the things that we like doing, the things that we may feel we're good at. Yes, God gives different gifts and enables us to be good at. But it depends what our motive is in doing them. Is it in love to the Lord? Or is it in love to ourselves? Oh, how we have such great need to seek and do and know the Lord's will for us. Not to be about looking at others, seeking what they should be doing, what they are doing or what they are not doing. It's yourself, it's myself before Almighty God. Are we willing to leave all, to part with all, and follow him? To follow him whithersoever he goeth. And that whithersoever has taken dear James and Elsie many miles from their family, from us as a church, and from many others that love them dearly. Friends, in obedience to the Lord's will, they went, and now they're living without many, you might say, of life's comforts. Many things that we call our daily needs, they are without. Friends, we see, though, the evidences that God is with them. God's mercies, God's goodness, God's providing. And it's wonderful to behold and to see. But what of you and me? Do we know the Lord going before us? Are there those evidences in your life and mine that we can say to the goodness and the honour and glory of the Lord? It is the Lord who has gone before. It is God who has done this. It is God who has enabled me to do that. It's not what we could do in our own strength or by our own will, but it's by the hand and the help of Almighty God. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. It is certain, it is sure. And may the Lord God go before each and every one of you to help you day by day, hour by hour. And it is a promise that will never fail, for he will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, nor neither be dismayed. And the Lord, he it is. Be not afraid, but be of good courage, was spoken to Joshua. Oh, friends, may we go away from the house of God this night with good courage to do the will of our God, our Heavenly Master, our friend, who has done so much for us, that we may be able to do the more under the power, the strength, the might of God, to do all that is required of us. Friends, it's easy to sit back. It's easy to wait. Friends, what of that great day that we will be wanting and found wanting in your life and mine? Those many opportunities that we have not heeded, we have not listened, we have not wanted to listen, perhaps felt you could leave it a while longer. God has permitted your life to be lengthened out until this very hour. Friends, how much longer? We none of us know how long we shall be found upon this earth. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. There is no other Saviour but Jesus, who has finished the work, who has done the work, and is now found at the right hand of his Father in glory until that great moment when he shall return in power and great glory. He will come with all his holy angels with him, and then that eternal separation will be that eternal separation. Eternity, eternity, where will you, where will I? Friends, it's the most vital, real matter that you will ever have in your life, that of your eternal soul that must be lost or must be found. May God forgive all that we have spoken wrong in his great name this day. may he bless each never dying soul to know him, to love him, to praise him more. Amen.